Interesting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. It's good to see a pretty full house. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you're joining us online as well. It's wonderful. Hey, if you give a shout out, how many people are watching with you today? If you're by yourself, just say, me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. Right? And then we'll pray for the split personalities. And, you know, God can heal that too. Hallelujah. Now, just shout out, tell us how many people you're watching with today. You watch with your family. Are you on the road? Are you at home? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you worshiping? If you're over in the fellowship hall, thank you for joining us as well. We're so glad that you are here joining us today. But, man, it's good to be in the house of God. I'm so glad that you're here with us. My name is Pastor Harris, in case you came in late, you don't know who I was at the beginning. What an honor it was to be able to dedicate a child this morning, amen, and that we dedicated and we said we are going to stand with that family and we're going to do what we can when we can to help out, right? And sometimes there's soft love and sometimes there's tough love, so give us permission to speak to you as parents or people that we love or as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to come alongside you. If you have a need, let us know. We want to help you. With that sweet boy in your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week we had White Ribbon Day. Wasn't that good? What a blessing. Amen? It's so cool. You know, God brings divine appointments, and you just have to keep your eyes open and your heart open to receive. I mean, 6 years ago in Walmart, right? I told you there's opportunity in every aisle. Hallelujah. We were in the check stand, right, for the Lord in Walmart, God's place where he can work. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Target sometimes, I don't know. Okay, so we're in the aisle, and I just look back, and we just developed this relationship and friends ever since, and then it's such a blessing, man. I was reminded that, a couple years ago, they even did the worship for the women's conference, which is coming up now digital, but they did that, and they've come here a couple times. Just awesome. Keep your eyes open, church. Keep your hearts open, because there are divine appointments all around you. Don't be distracted by your own personal things, man. Listen to the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. God wants to do something in your life, and he wants to bring people in your life. Amen? Amen, amen. Awesome. Well, here we are. If you don't know what happened earlier, we believe in the nine gifts of Spirit. I know I say that on Sunday mornings and other times, but I want to just remind people that might not know what happened there. In the Bible, there's nine gifts, and oftentimes there's a gift that's just for you or for another person or for a corporate body. But in this instance, what happened was there's a tongue, right? What is a tongue? It's a heavenly language. It's like your spirit speaking to God's spirit. We don't understand it exactly what it is. Sometimes it's even an earthly language that you don't know. Like you just start speaking Filipino and you're like, whoa, right? Or Japanese or some language of a Native American or something amazing, right? But what you're doing is you're allowing your spirit to speak to God's spirit, right? It's a perfect prayer. So what that was it was a prayer, or what this is I'm about to explain was he was giving a tongue, and then there's an interpretation, not a translation. That's why it wasn't word for word. He wasn't stop and translate. What that says in the Bible is it's equal to prophecy. What is prophecy? It's an edifying, a building up, an encouragement to the church. It is something that builds us up, right? We read God's word, we talk to other people, we pray, but oftentimes there's a gift that God gives us, he uses us to build us up. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be encouraged. Amen? And so it's so awesome that we believe in that here and that we want to foster an opportunity for people to give gifts if it is corporate, right? But I want you to know that you can give a gift to anybody at any moment. Ask God. It says, diligently seek the gifts, right? I want the gift of knowledge. God, give me the gift of knowledge. Give me the gift of faith. How about miracles? God, I want to be in Walmart. I heard at Walmart it is a great place for opportunity. Amen. God, give me the gift of faith, which will move me into maybe the gift of miracles. Can you imagine you're in aisle number 7 and somebody's having a bad day and somebody's in a wheelchair and you walk up and you say, God, I've been praying for this all week and there's something stirring inside of me. And I go up and I say, hey, I don't know you, but God loves you. I've been praying all week and you're the one that I've been praying for. And God says, stand up and walk. And boom, right there in aisle 7, everybody's getting saved in Walmart. And then Walmart, hey, hallelujah. Walmart can clean up their act, hallelujah. Praise God. Right, Right there. And you can even, here's the good thing about Walmart, you can even do it in your jammies. Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all been shopping at Walmart 11 o'clock at night in your jammies. Praise God. If you've done that, say hallelujah. Okay. The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't know what we're doing right now. Praise God. Praise God. Well, here we are. This is the month. We're almost done. I can't believe it. The month of March. Can you believe that? Here at First Home Bible, we have a theme called consumed. Highlight M-E, me. Consumers consume. And many things in our life battle for the throne of our hearts. See, idolatry is not an issue. It's the issue. Okay? Who sits on the throne of your heart will be the one you worship. And if it's not God on that throne, then it is an idol. You know you can sit on your own throne, right? Okay. I'm not talking about the bathroom, okay? I was like, okay, I see what you did. And all the Johns in this room got offended. Hallelujah. Sorry, my friend. Hallelujah. See, God works through me and he still uses my personality. I'm sorry, not sorry. It's just what it is. I, every Sunday, say, keep on track. I'm telling you, my wife says it too. I can feel it right now. Hallelujah. Man, I pray that this series, Consumed, has blessed you, has helped you understand and recognize there are false gods at war within each of us. So let's clear a path together, church, from the heartache of our generation's idolatry and get back to the heart of God. Amen? Yes. Amen. So today is Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday. Woo! Palm Sunday. One more week until Easter. Hallelujah. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Woo. The literal Greek meaning of Hosanna means this: save now. Save now. See, this word was more than a cry of acclamation. Essentially, it was a plea from the oppressed people to their Savior for deliverance. Save me now! We've been praying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for you to save us. When Hosanna was shouted by the people, they were also publicly proclaiming and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Messiah as he entered in that holy city on a donkey. Let's read it. If you brought your word, open to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to jump into 20 and 21 in Matthew 20 and 21. If you can bring your Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. That's the NLT version. Or if you're in the front, there's a Bible underneath you right there. You can go ahead and grab one. If you don't know where Matthew is, it's the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are called the Gospels. And we'd love for you to open up the first book called Matthew. Now, did you know the Bible wasn't wrote in chapters and verses, right? That was 100 years ago that they added that, so that way we can find. Instead, you know that one page and that one thing right by the other stuff? And you're like, man, it's taking me 10 minutes to find it, right? But that's why we have Matthew 21. Each one was written as a book. So this is the book of Matthew, who was a disciple that followed Jesus. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 11. I'm reading out of the NLT. All right, let's start. Bless you. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter in it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Right? Isn't that cool? Gift of knowledge. Look at that. It's just wonderful. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Then the two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Now another account in the Gospels is it said he went there. Someone asked a question. Hey, what are you doing, man? You steal my stuff. He goes, hey, the Lord needs it. And he's like, okay, cool. You can take it. Just like Jesus said, it happened, okay? Verse 8 in Matthew 21. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of them, cloaks and coats and things like that. And others cut branches from the trees and spread them all on the road. Jesus was in the center of this procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God," or "Hosanna for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven," or "Hosanna in the highest." The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this? Who is that guy right there?" they asked. And the crowd replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen? Hosanna! Hosanna! Praise God. See, this wonderful celebratory day, Palm Sunday, is the beginning of Jesus' final journey to the cross. For those who came today on Palm Sunday wishing we would just hear about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and then call it a day, I'm sorry to disappoint you this morning. But we have to expose an idol this morning that can easily consume. As the disciples and Jesus traveled to Jerusalem, and before even one palm branch, right? This happened before what we just read. Even before one palm branch was waved, Jesus warned his disciples a third time that he would be betrayed, he'd be put to death, and then 3 days later, he would rise again. This is the third time. So go back. You're in Matthew 21. Go back one chapter in Matthew 20, okay? Probably just one page over, or maybe it's on the same page as where you were. Matthew 20, we're going to start in verses 17, and I'm going to read through 19. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately, right? And he told them what was going to happen. "Listen, okay? Listen to me. I have to tell you something. Listen," he said. "We're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the lead priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be flogged, mocked, and with a whip he'll be flogged and crucified. But on the third day, he will raise from the dead." Amen? So Jesus pulled his disciples aside. So that means there's probably other followers or other people around. He said, "I got to tell you something." This is the third time he told them. "Son of Man," that's a word that he gave himself. He's talking about himself. "I will die. I won't just die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be tortured. Terrible things are going to happen to me. But 3 days later, Son of Man will rise from that grave. He'll be alive." I mean, to us, we're like, "Oh, that's cool, man. We love that. I mean, that's Easter. We understand all about it." But in that day, they're like, "I have no idea what he is talking about. I've never seen anyone come back to life. That, what? I'm walking with him, I'm believing Jesus, but I don't quite understand it." See, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and it's a great celebration where we won't yell out, "Hosanna," but instead we're gonna yell out, "He is risen." Amen? Say it, church. He is risen. See, I love Palm Sunday. We love Palm Sunday, and we love Easter Sunday. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. Amen? We wouldn't be here. But sadly, many want the celebrations without experiencing the painful events of the Last Supper, the garden, the crucifixion, and Silent Saturday. Sundays we come together and we celebrate the Messiah. Hosanna! 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 But oftentimes in the days in between the Sundays is where we learn how to be followers of Jesus Christ. One thing I don't want to have happen this morning is we remember Palm Sunday and then we get excited about Easter Sunday and we just call it a week. Church, we can't forget what happens in the in-between. Palm Sunday doesn't just skip to Resurrection Sunday. Neither does our life. There is an in-between. Church, there's a purpose for the pain. There's power in the pain. There's freedom found in the pain. We can't just skip over the cross. The same goes for the cross that we're supposed to carry as well. Matthew 10, 38 says this. If you refuse, this is Jesus talking. He's talking to us, talking to the disciples, his followers, the people that say they're Christians. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Lord Jesus. Listen, I get it. I get it. I get it. I love the hosannas and the hallelujahs. The yoke is easy. His burden is light. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and but not beneath, right? I love all that. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The second coming of Christ is going to be amazing. He's going to rid the whole world of evil as a triumphant king. In heaven, there's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain. See, I'm the guy that likes to push past the pain and focus on the good promises of God. I love Palm Sunday and I love Easter Sunday, and they're so vital and so important. But as followers of Jesus, we're called to be resurrection people as well. We're called to live in the here and now and bring forth light into the darkness. I don't know if that's been more true than any time in my entire life. And we're to proclaim the promises of a new life that comes with the resurrection. But church, you have to bear the pain of a cross first. We know that we cannot have and experience the resurrection and the promises that come with it without first experiencing what comes before it. We cannot have the resurrection without first having the cross. Can't just go from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday without first leaning into the pain that lies in the in-between. Church, we can't just keep trying to live our lives either. By trying to ignore and cope with the pain that this life gives. By just going from one celebration to the next celebration, to the next celebration, to the next celebration. All I live is for the celebration, the celebration, the celebration. And anything in between, I don't want any part of it. I'm all here for the celebration. There is purpose in your pain. This morning marks our last Sunday of the series Consumed. As we observe today, Palm Sunday, we need to also look down the road. Okay? Not just the triumphant road of the holy city, but also down a painful road up a mountain called Golgotha. Today marks the first day of Holy Week, and Jesus knew of the pain that was coming. He prophesied it 3 times to his disciples. He knew that Hosanna on this day, Hosanna, Hosanna on the highest, on this day will be followed up by the curses, the betrayal, and the great pain down the road just a few days later. He knew that many are present at the parade today, but will be absent from the cross down the road, yet still want the benefits of the resurrection later. Come on now. Now I'm preaching. I'm going somewhere. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Jesus knew the meaning of this saying far deeper than we can even imagine. There's no gain without pain. No pain, no gain. Man, he knows that far deeper than we can even imagine. We have a saying here in America, it goes like this. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But freedom is never free. Someone had to die and willingly stand in the gap between the enemy and us and say no, right? See, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's never without Barabbas, Barabbas, free Barabbas and crucified Jesus. Freedom is not free. Matthew reminds us why Christ came. It's in the same chapter you were just reading in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew reminds us why Christ came and what it really means, what it really, church say really, what it really means to follow Jesus. It's in verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. Here it is. And give his life as a ransom for many. Church, we have an idol in our lives. And we're consumed by something other than God and his plan. The saying in America goes like this: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have an idol, and the idol is the pursuit of happiness. We have an idol of avoiding pain. We want gain without the pain. We want celebrating. Right? You like that song? I know some of y'all were thinking that when I was saying that. I just let it out. God gave me a gift of knowledge, man. We're just flowing those gifts, right? No, God just likes to use me goofy ways. Hallelujah. But that's how we focus our life. Celebrate. I don't want nothing else. Saying here in America is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But Jesus walked down a lot more streets than just the ones that celebrated him. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to not avoid pain, but instead lean into it. He understood through pain there is the pursuit of holiness. Without pain for the Messiah, there'd be no gain for the hurting and the lost. Without what Jesus did, we wouldn't be here today. 2,000 years ago on a Sunday like this one, palm branches were waved and Hosanna was shouted in the streets. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. The pursuit of happiness was upon the people. Save us now. Save us right now. All the while, the pursuit of Christ was to lean into the pain and do the Father's will so everything can be done as he wanted. Jesus leaned into the pain and not away from it because the pain had a purpose. It had a purpose. We have an idol, church. Yay! Right? Idol Sunday, hallelujah. Oh man, that'll preach right there. Y'all came in here today with some idols. Woo, I'm not going down the road. Okay. 2,000 years ago on a Sunday like this one, palm branches were waved. And people were pursuing happiness. All the while, Christ was pursuing something else. And he was leaning into his pain. And we have built an idol. We have built a culture where the American dream and Christianity are married. Jesus wasn't an American. And I'm about to step on some things. Let me preface this real quick. My father was in the military. He raised us to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to respect the flag, to stand for the flag, to do these things, and to say God bless America no matter what, and get offended, right, in the righteous way that people would disrespect what people have done before them so they can have the right to even speak up in the midst of it. And I was raised by a father that loved this nation and was willing to give his life, and his father before him, I'm Harris Holzapfel IV, and I'm talking about Harris Holzapfel III and the second, and some of my uncles. Lots of people served in our military, and I was raised in that. But let me tell you something. God's kingdom is not exactly like America. And all the things that we believe in America is not exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, I get that America was built on biblical foundations and principles, but man, we've walked away from a lot of it, and we've loved America more than we've loved God. Now, preaching. We have an idol. We have built a culture where the American dream, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has married Christianity. The American culture has developed this unsaid expectation. It is this, that we are to focus on our happiness and avoid all pain. You may have heard this from the American Christian community as well. If you're not prosperous and you're not rich and you don't have all the things you want in your life and you're not fully happy, then there must be sin in your life. You must not be following God's plans, and something is wrong with you. Oh, here's the most famous scapegoat that most people use in the American Christian community as well. Satan must be attacking you, right? It's the devil's fault that you have pain in your life. Now, sometimes that's true. Not the devil, but evil, because the devil is only one entity. He can only be one place. It's a created being. He's an angel, a fallen angel. The devil can only be one place, and you think he's always messing with you? You're wrong. He's probably somewhere else because he can only be one place. But evil does mess with you and your life. There is pain in your life because of evil, but that's not it. That's not the only thing. Here's what the Bible actually teaches. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange was happening to you. What? I'm not rich? I don't got a Beamer, right? I don't got everything I want? What? There's something wrong. I don't got every job and everything and all this perfect stuff that I've always wanted. Even the Christian community has told me this, right? If you know, I'm preaching against just a little bit here, is the prosperity gospel. It's a lie from the enemy. It's not in the Word of God. Yes, God wants you to be blessed. He does. But the problem is, you want to be blessed for you. You're the idol. God wants to bless you so you can bless others. And if you're not good with faithful, with a little bit, he should take it all. Prosperity gospel, right? I don't need a jet. I don't need two jets and a huge house. And I'm just going down a different road I shouldn't go, right? Right? Hey, by the way, after service, I'm going to be signing my book out there. Okay. Now I'm really getting it. Hallelujah. Last time I remembered, Jesus was tossing tables. Something like that. Come on now. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as something strange were happening to you. Instead. Church, say instead. Right? Here's what you see, and God says what you should do. Instead is a huge word in God's word. You're like, okay, I know about that. Instead, okay, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what it should be like. Instead, be very glad for these trials. Make you partners with Christ in his prosperity, in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. Wow. What a powerful two verses. That just shakes up the American dream, doesn't it? This is what the American culture says. If happiness is your goal, then pain is your enemy. Here's the really dangerous part of this idol. It's believing this. We exist for the pursuit of happiness. Oftentimes, divorces happen. You know, divorce is no different in the church than it is in the world. Why? Because we fell out of love. No, you chose not to love anymore. You didn't fall out of love. There's no such thing. It's a choice. Love is a choice. Did Jesus fall out of love with you because he just didn't feel like it? No. It's because when we have pain in our life, we go away from it, and something happened in my life. Now, I get there's other reasons for divorce. Now, I'm not going down that road. I'm going down the road of, well, I just wasn't satisfied, right? There's no difference in the world than there is in this church that we're supposed to be separated from the world and look different. That's just one entity of what God is separating today in this idol. There's so many paths. It's because we've married the American dream and we believe we exist for the pursuit of happiness. The idea is this. If your life has pain, then something must be wrong. Something must be wrong with you. So go do this. Go run and hide or numb yourself. Hide from God and his plans. Self-medicate. Do whatever it takes to avoid pain. But the only way you will grow into the likeness of Christ is not the pursuit of happiness, but the pursuit of holiness. Lean into the pain, not away from it. Give it to God and grow with God. As followers of Christ, pain in this life should not be something to avoid, because oftentimes it is there where we find God. Going through trials and tribulations with Christ will make you more like Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, say it again. Come on now. Going through trials and tribulations with Christ will make you more like Christ. Because I just read in God's word in 1 Peter that we're to be partners with Christ in his suffering. You know, I could not preach this word in a different country. Some countries don't even know where their next meal is. And we're like, man, I got like 10 options and I can't decide on one. Right? Oh, the troubles Americans have. First world problems, man, get over it. Just eat some food. Maybe it's time that you should... go on a fast. Hallelujah. Right? My belt's reminding me I need to go on a fast. Hallelujah. Okay. Understand this, that following Christ, there may be shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, but moments later will come betrayal and hurt and the crucifixion of relationships. It's not easy following Jesus. It's not easy. But it's right. It's not easy following the path that Jesus is leading us down, but it's holy. Jesus is going to take you places that your flesh is going to get oh so hurt, beaten and whipped. You're going to feel like you're just messed up. But there's salvation at the end. There's an empty tomb. Strength in the cross. See, life hurts, church. People hurt. Okay, I'm going to speak to somebody right now. If you've been hurt by the church before, let me tell you something. People are people. I've been hurt. I've left the church. Me, your pastor, has left the church. My wife had to get me back in the church because I was done. I was hurt by pastors and I was hurt by people. And here's the thing, I got a little bit, now please don't be offended by this, a little ignorant, assuming that these people represented what he does. These people are figuring it out too. They're figuring it out too. Don't punish God for what someone has done to you. They're not perfect, he is. If you want to be mad at God for what he has done, not what other people have done to you. So, I don't know, that's for somebody in here today. You've been hurt by the church or by people before, but God wants to heal it. There is purpose in that pain. I wouldn't be the pastor today if I didn't have to walk through that, because then I wouldn't have known how to try to not hurt you. You get what I'm saying? Or how to say, somebody's acting a fool in the church hurting other people, and I go right to them and say, enough is enough. That's out of line, right? You don't learn those things until you walk through something. Life hurts, people hurt, and pain is a real thing. But we're called to rejoice in our suffering. What? Now, I don't mean celebrate. Celebrate, I'm in pain. Hey, hey, hey. Okay. Nah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying, like, you enjoy it, right? I cannot wait to be more hurt. Today's a day of pain and hurt. Hallelujah. Yippee. Hey, hallelujah, I love God. No, that's not what the Bible's teaching. Oftentimes we read something and we don't go deeper, and what does that actually mean, right? Here's what it means. You rejoice in your pain, you lean into the pain, you recognize the pain, and you bring the pain to the only one that can heal the pain. And when you bring that pain to the only one that can heal the pain, that's why you celebrate. Because he's going to take it. I'm not walking alone through this. He's got me. I might walk through this one day. Praise God, thank you for this pain because I know who's got me. See why? Because God can turn your pain into praise. Can I get a hallelujah for that? God can turn your pain over to his promises. God can turn your pain into eternal passions. And God can turn your pain into transformation. Now I'm going to start preaching. Not because God wants to get rid of your pain. No. It's because you will find God in the midst of your pain. You remember reading God's word, and we love this verse, and we have it on t-shirts in America here, that, you know, God goes before us in every battle, right? He's going to fight for us in every battle. But here's the attitude we have. He's going to go before us in every battle, and I'm going to sit down on the couch and eat something. No, he says he goes before you into battle, which means you still go into battle, right? He's leading you in that. But the American culture says, nah, I'm going over here. That's scary. That might be painful. No, he's going with you. Do you not get it? There's no gain without pain. Jesus knows your pain. He was also hurt. Yes, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, he was rejected. He was betrayed by the ones that loved him, supposed to love him, the most. Jesus is known as the man of sorrows. Jesus was rejected, and he was hurt, and he was despised, and he suffered. This is why Jesus went away to be with the Father. He had to pray. Jesus was hurt, but he did not allow the pain or the pursuit of happiness take him out. The devil, do you remember? The devil, he tempted him. Oh, you don't have to go through all this. Come up to this mountain. Let me show you what I can give you if you just want to pursue happiness. Jesus didn't get bitter, angry, or turn to worldly things to cope. Christ's pain brought him closer to his Father. Why? Because there was purpose in his pain. Can I get personal for a moment? Three people want that. Okay, rest of you just talk to your neighbor. This is going to be so boring. You're going to hate this part, right? Can I get personal for a moment, honestly? Okay. 2020. I grew more with God last year than I can remember. Amen. Through all the pain that we walked through, I became a better servant husband, stronger, more aware father, a tougher, more compassionate pastor, and a more caring friend. Not because I ran away from my life's troubles, but because of all the pain that I faced, I chose to walk through it with God. God, I can't do this. My wife's laid up. My house don't have any air conditioning. I don't have anything for her broken ankle and her surgery in my freezer that works anymore. And my youth pastor left and blah, 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 blah. God, I cannot do this. I need you, right? That's me just getting personal for a moment. See, if I would have rather pursued happiness, right? A lot of people said, Pastor, y'all circled around the house too, and man, it made me cry, and you're praying over the house that you felt like the enemies was attacking, and he probably was in some areas, but you're like, please don't leave, right? Here's some food, here's some ice, anything, what do you need, right? You want a piggyback? I don't know, come on, Pastor, right? Don't leave. And see, if I would have pursued happiness, left, man, I got to get out of here. This isn't celebration. This is painful. If I would have pursued happiness over what God was doing in my pain, I would have never been closer with my Savior. I wouldn't have. If I would have stopped growing with the pursuit of happiness instead of growing through the sacrifices and leaning into the pain, I wouldn't be who I am today. All right, I want to talk to you about another person real quick. There's this guy named Joseph in Genesis. Remember him? His story? Ooh, that guy has some pain. If you don't know the story, he was the favorite. He had this really cool coat, right? Many colors. It was awesome, right? I think it was FUBU or something. I'm not sure what it was. No, it had to have been like Ralph Lauren or something. It was really cool. But it was a designer, one of a kind, beautiful coat. And God gave him these dreams, and his brothers became jealous. They were so jealous that they said, let's kill him. Nah, we don't want to kill him, right? Now, this seems kind of American. We don't want to kill him. We can make money off this. Sorry, America. I love you, but it's what it is. I want to be more like God than you, but I do appreciate you. So, but hey, let's not kill him. Let's make money off this. Let's spread some animal blood on this coat, bring it back to the father, throw him in a pit. No, let's just sell him. Let's sell him. Let's sell him to slavery. So, dude, this guy had a terrible beginning of his journey finding more and more of God. And he loved God through it all. He never stopped loving God. Okay? So think about Joseph for a moment. There was pain in the pit. There was pain in Potiphar's house. There was pain in prison, but the pain had a purpose. It prepared Joseph for the position to be the prince of Egypt. There is progress from the pain. Because oftentimes there is purpose in the pain. Now I give you my story, a little bit of my story, and a little bit of Joseph's story. Now I know that some of y'all are going through something here right now. Let me give you a little spin on what maybe the Bible wants to teach you today. The reason why that fell apart is because that's the place you're going to find God. The reason why it fell apart is because you haven't leaned on God. The reason why you're going through all this pain is because that's the only place that he can get you for your purpose, because you haven't been listening. God wants to grow you in your character and the places that you're to go because you're facing all these things because he loves you. There's purpose in your pain. Maybe it's not all what the America says, or maybe what church people say, that you should be feeling this or have this or you know, be at this certain spot in your life. Maybe it's because God has a plan for your pain to get you to the place of character so you can hold what he has for you to go and do his plans. Okay? Don't just focus on Hosanna and the celebration. There's purpose in your pain. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this. Now, if you want to write any scripture down, this is the one to chew on all week. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And the NLT says this. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. When I go through this and I go through it with God, I'm reminded of my confident hope that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, verse 5. And this hope, it won't lead to disappointment. No. I mean, even if you never get past that pain, maybe that's the thorn of your flesh that you're supposed to have forever. You know, Paul had something like that. Maybe even if you don't get past that, it's not going to lead to disappointment. It's about perspective. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So church, let pain be part of your story. Why? Number one, because pain is where you mature. Pain is where you mature. You won't get past your pain until you actually deal with it. Remember, I said deal with it. Don't bury it or drown it or look past it or ignore it. Pain is where you mature. Number two is this: pain brings redemption. God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. God's kingdom is not America. It's different. Similar in some ways. Thank God we have a country that is holding on very loosely to some principles that the Bible still teaches. Fight for that, by the way. Step up, speak up, say something. Somebody acting a fool and they're saying all kinds of stuff against God, man, you act a fool for God. Okay? You're already acting a fool. Might as well act a fool for God. Okay. Praise God. I'll set somebody free. See, Jesus changed the world through his pain. Did you hear me? Jesus changed the world. I'm almost at the end here. Keep holding on. Through his pain. The Messiah invites us, his followers, to be transformed and to help transform others through our pain. When you don't lean into your pain, this is what you get. If you don't lean into your pain and you don't give it to God, here's what you get. You get three things, maybe all of them or one of them. You start feeling sorry for yourself. You step into a victim mindset, or you become entitled. I don't deserve all this. I shouldn't have to walk through this. Why not? Why is God punishing me? I deserve better. When we do this with our pain, we never actually deal with our pain. We just cope with pain. We turn to things like this: denial, obsessions, drinking, pornography, drugs, alcohol, binge watching, eating, anger, fitness, as you can tell, that's me. Other people's approval and admiration, shopping, I mean, whatever it is. But God is calling us to walk through our pain with Christ, to join him in his suffering, to join him in the pursuit of God's will for our lives, which is, church, look at me. God's pursuit for your life is this: not the pursuit of happiness, but the pursuit of holiness. That's what he desires for your life. It's in holiness we find salvation and transformation. We find the cross, we find an empty tomb, and we find the true meaning of Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Brent only, will you please come, please? Please? How many times do I say please? Please, just come. Please, Brent. Put the mask on, walk up here, please. You know, it's a supernatural mystery. It's strange sometimes, the things that we face in life, that we read about the Word, and it's a supernatural mystery, and you might never understand it fully this side of heaven, okay? You got to have to just get past that. If you're going to always be so cerebral, you're always going to be in your head all the time and not in your heart. I've said this before, you can miss heaven by one foot. If it's always in your head, and I got to always understand it, you're going to miss heaven, because oftentimes, this is what Jesus talks about mostly. It's your heart. Sometimes, right? Can somebody explain love to me for a moment? You can try all you want with your head, but there's real no explanation of love. And I heard this before. Or music. Can you explain music to me? You can, the dynamics of it, but why does it make you feel the way it makes you feel? Not everything makes sense. There is a supernatural mystery that we live with every day. And here's one, that when Jesus' people step into their pain, he promises the world will be transformed by it. You can read it in two books, James and Romans. God intentionally designed pain to be a reversal of the worldly pleasures so that a supernatural event can take place and make us more like his son, Jesus. God intentionally designed that pain in our life, right? We chose the fruit, and it brought darkness, death, and sin into our world. But God uses the pain to reverse our worldly pleasures. God uses our pain to reverse and destroy the idols that consume us. The idol of the pursuit of happiness must fall, church. For the transformation of holiness to take place in your life, there is purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your pain. See, when you walk through pain with God, here's some cool things that happen. Your empathy. You know what empathy is? It's like being in a boat on a lake, and there's somebody else in a boat, and man, whew, they're taking upon water. Oh, that stinks. I feel for them. You know what compassion is? Jump out of that boat, get in there, and I'm going to start paling with you. Right? That's compassion, right? Empathy. When you walk through your pain, your empathy in your life, it's going to turn into compassion. Ideas will become experiences. Right? My wife and I now have so much compassion because of the experience we had to face when she was in a wheelchair for a couple months. If you have a wheelchair or you're bound to a wheelchair, we get it now. We feel for you. If there's anything we can do to help you, we get it. We've walked through it, right? This is what happens when you walk through pain. Your knowledge becomes wisdom, and you look more like Christ. When you realize there's purpose for your pain, that's when your pain shifts from isolation, why me, to transformation, use me, right? When you realize there's purpose in your pain, you go from why me, isolation, to use me, transformation. We start to shift toward a deeper understanding of what it means to be made in the image of God. Because the one who walks through the pain with God knows love is going to win in the end. John 16, 33. I have told you, this is Jesus talking. I have told you, church, he has told us. So that you may have peace in him. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart. Because I have overcome the world. That's the God we serve. That's Hosanna. That's Hosanna. Save me. Save me now. Walk with me. Walk through this with me. Speak to me. Help me. See, there's going to be days like today where everybody around you feels like shouting Hosanna and all around us, woo, celebrate. Yeah, this is awesome, right? But pain will come. It will. Live in a broken world. Remember, we chose sin. It's not God's choice. That was our choice. But I want to say this. Last couple things right here. Church, look at me, please. Don't pursue happiness over holiness, or you will miss Christ. There has to be time in your own life where you embrace the palm branches of Christ, and you embrace the passion of Christ as well. I'll ask you a couple questions before we go today. We change the world because the world changer lives in us. Church, today, is there submission in your suffering? Is there submission in your suffering? Is there trust before your understanding? Have you found purpose in your pain? And here's the most important question. Have you found the person of Jesus in your pain? Let the idol of the pursuit of happiness fall. There's purpose in your pain. Will you stand, please? Hallelujah. Realize we heard a lot of messages today. We even sang about it, that God will get you through things that you're facing. He will. But sometimes it's his time, not ours. Sometimes it's a miracle and it happens right now and it's unexplainable. And sometimes you have to walk through it. But the most important thing is you still remember he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And what he does for the good of us and the good of his glory. And if you have to walk through pain so he can be glorified, we should be willing to join Christ in his suffering and say, yes, Lord, use me if you need to. Let me pray for you. Father, we ask that you make us more like your son, Jesus. That we recognize this Palm Sunday, your son leaned into his pain. So we would be saved later down the road. Jesus leaned into his pain for the salvation of the world. May we, Father, be like your Son and go to the world with everything we face and join in the suffering of Christ. May it be for the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Happy Palm Sunday, church. We love you. You can do it. Amen. Let's sing before we go.